And it's time to talk sport now with Warwick Hadfield. Warwick, good morning.
Good morning to you,
Fran. Well, the Matildas have made up some much-needed ground after they lost to Chile on the weekend. They've produced a stunning win against Chile in Newcastle last night.
Yeah, Fran, the score 5-0. But at halftime, it was nil all. But that was before Caitlin Ford ran amok, confirming she had recovered from what had been a debilitating foot injury. She swerved her way through the, well, hitherto solid Chilean defence to set up her childhood friend. That's how long they've been playing again and with each other, these two, Samantha Kerr. And that was Australia's first goal. And then even before Kerr had fully finished her celebrations, Ford scored the Matilda second goal, making light of an acute angle for the, well, cutest of goals. There was a second goal to Ford, as the Australians put together 4 in 17 minutes, the other goal to the substitute, Emily Gilnick. Then right at the finish, Ford completed what in football is a hat-trick. You don't have to score them 3 in a row for it to be called a hat-trick in football. And Australia had won 5-0. So a little bit of equilibrium has been restored. The Matildas playing at least for the last 45 minutes like the 6th best team in the world, and the Chileans like the 39th. That's their ranking. And no doubt the Matildas would like to think they will retain that 6th spot as the FIFA abacus comes out ahead of the World Cup in France next year.
Have the counters been figuring it out? Is 5-0 enough to do it?
Well, they have to wait. They have to wait until December the 7th, Fran, to get the final rankings ahead of the World Cup. And before that, there's a game between the Netherlands and Switzerland that has to be taken into account. Now, the Dutch are pushing for one of those spots in the top 6. They're ranked at 10 in the world at the moment, and Switzerland's way, way below that. So a good result for the Dutch could put them into the top 6. It's quite a complicated way of working things out. That not only is the result the thing that counts, but where the match took place, if it's played on neutral ground or it's played on home ground, it's not ranked as highly if it's an away win. It's a formula that FIFA says has been worked out over a long period of time, and they only came up with this latest formula in August, but they believe it's the one that works. And Australia really wanted to win both these games, and losing that first game 3-2 to Chile in Penrith has potentially cost them. It's a really case now of fingers crossed ahead of the World Cup, because you do want to be in that top 6 because it makes it that little bit easier to get to the next round.
Yeah, given the 5-0 scoreline, that first game must seem like a bad dream. In cricket, the Australian women are playing for a guaranteed place in the T20 World Cup semis against New Zealand this morning.
Yeah, they don't need to worry too much about the fall of the abacus. Meg Lanning's team has won its first 2 games. That was against Pakistan and Ireland in Guyana. And a third win today against the New Zealanders puts the Australians straight into the semi-finals, which are to be played in Antigua. Against that, though, the White Ferns, who lost their first match to India and must beat the Australians if they're going to stay in contention for the semi-finals. And you know that when you put a fern over a New Zealander's heart, they grow about a yard faster and 10 feet taller. But the form guide says the Australians, they recently beat New Zealand fairly comfortably in a T20 series here at home. So you'd think Australia would win, but you never underestimate a New Zealander, Fran.
Only time will tell. And in rugby union, just briefly, it looks set to drop Bernard Foley for this weekend's test against Italy. He'll be number 10.
Well, it'll be Matt Tamura. And if ever you wanted confirmation of the globalisation of sport, here it comes. While Elise Perry is batting and bowling for the Australian women in Guyana in Italy, it's her husband, Matt Tamura, who is being whispered as the number 10 for the Wallabies ahead of this. Well, it's a must-win game against the Azzurri this weekend. Tamura will replace Bernard Foley, who replaced Kirtley Beale, who replaced Bernard Foley, who, well, you've got the picture already, the fly half position, just as problematical as that of hooker for the Wallabies at the moment, Fran.
In football, as the attention turned from Matildas to the Socceroos, Martin Boyle is a step closer to playing his first game for Australia.
Fran, it's a pretty important step too, stepping on Australian soil for the first time. We've talked about this before. He was born in Scotland and he's played all his football there, playing with Hibernian, but he qualifies for Australia via his father. He's recently taken out Australian citizenship, and the strong word this week is he will make his debut for the Socceroos this weekend in the friendly against South Korea. As you would expect, there are lovely little Bon Mo or even Bonnie McBo surrounding his selection. Not the least, he's been very impressed by what he's seen of Brisbane so far, and he's also been made aware that, look, you don't have to learn the second verse of Advance Australia Fair, because nobody in Australia knows that. As we noted earlier, he has been learning the first verse of Advance Australia Fair while driving around his car, so it's a sort of a very, very nationalistic car pool karaoke. And look, just recapping on our earlier story, the Matildas beat Chile 5-0 in an important pre-World Cup game in Newcastle last night. The score 5-0, Caitlin Ford getting three of those. Now, with fingers crossed, Matildas wait to see what the FIFA abacus comes up with on December 7th when the seedings for the World Cup are announced. A top six spot depends for Australia on how the Netherlands go against Switzerland. That 3-2 loss last Saturday still hurting the Matildas, Fran. They would have probably been in the top six without that. But now, as I said, they have to sit with their fingers crossed and wait to see what FIFA comes up with on December the 7th.
Yeah, it was a blinder of a second half, though, wasn't it?
It was. It was spectacular.
Warwick, in cricket, did someone just say Sheffield Shield? Hey, I think the talent scouts might be out.
Well, they need to be, Frank, but we do live in hope that the shake-up in cricket that's been going on the last little while will extend as far as this great nursery of Australian cricket. Well, it was the greatest until someone in Jollymont Street thought, and demonstrably erroneously now, high performance could be achieved without high performance in the Sheffield Shield. So, look, Australia and South Africa are still getting ready for one of these utterly meaningless T20 frolics, but the Shield is back on this weekend. Three matches in creams involving the creme de la creme, or what's left of it, as Australia tries to find the players to combat India in a test series this summer. That starts on December the 6th. There's this not insignificant matter of finding suitable replacements for Steve Smith and David Warner, because it seems that Cricket Australia is going to reject the submission from the Australian Cricket Association to reduce their 12-month ban. And so I think the reading of the runes is that that's not going to happen. I don't think Cricket Australia can back down on that one. And tellingly, not even David Warner himself wants the bans reduced, Fran.
And just briefly, in golf, it's the Australian Open this week, but not too many Australians in it.
Well, Fran, it's becoming harder and harder to entice the best golfers to Australia at this time of the year because they've all given their best in the four majors all over the world. The prize money's not that flash. And sometimes some of the Australians, the leading Australians, will come home as an act of patriotism, but not this time. So there's no Jason Day, no Adam Scott, no Mark Leishman when they tee off tomorrow. Look, the sunniest of all Queenslanders, Cameron Smith, is there. He's ranked at 33 in the world, not at the highest, but still an up-and-coming golfer. He's playing in this tournament and he's keen to win. And I guess that's the narrative officials will be hoping for as the weekend progresses.
Okay, still a bit disappointing for the crowds, isn't it? Warwick, thank you very much.
Good on you, Fran.
Warwick Hadfield. It's 23 minutes to 8 on Breakfast.